Welcome to the Payment Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're going to dive into the topic of credit card stumbling, a rarely discussed but effective form of fraud. We're joined by Alok Kumar, Chief Information Security Officer of Retail and Payments at NCR Corporation. Alok has been with NCR for 26 years, serving in numerous IT positions. He, along with Brian Riley, Director of Credit and Co-Head of Payments at Mercator Advisory Group, discussed best practices for merchants in terms of detecting and preventing a credit card stumbling attack. Alok and Brian, it's great to have you with us today. Alok, for those that may be unfamiliar, can you explain what credit card stumbling means?
Yeah, sure. So credit card stumbling is kind of a subset of credit card fraud. And the stumbling attack is basically when hackers try to guess the missing information. They might have a credit card or they might have the expiration date, but not the CVSS or a piece of the credit card number. So they try to use those scenarios to inject into a website and try to guess the missing information. And that creates that stumbling attack where they try to find the proper combination of the entire PAN number, expiration date, CVSS code, so they can use that to sell it in the black market or use it for illegal purposes.
It's a lot like a safe cracker would be playing with the tumbler, I would imagine.
So to take an example, if you have a safe and then you have a combination lock in the front and then you move it around and that sound of tumbling is basically what the attack is. Now, this is now related to online, which is card not present, where they do it to exploit or guess the rest of the credit card numbers using online fraud.
Sure.
How would you suggest merchants find out if they are, targets to CCT attack?
Yeah, so there are ways. I'm trying to look at the tactical way, right? I mean, there is a hard way to find out in a case like where you start getting a bill from MasterCard, where they have a rule where if you are using the same card more than 20 times and it failed transaction, they start charging fine, right? So you get that bill when you say, oh, wait a minute, I got through. There was some kind of a targeted attack on my website, right? But that's not the right way to do it, right? So how do we find out as a merchant or e-commerce site, right? So you should have a good control monitoring process in place where you check the security of your entire system, right? You have to make sure you're not getting brute force attack. You have to make sure your antivirus is there where you can see unusual activity, right? And all kinds of security control and all the logs going into the corporate SIM, which is the security incident and event management solution, and 7x24 SOC that is monitoring and making sure we're not seeing any unusual activity that could be related to a fraud or a tumbling attack, right? That would be the right way to put a good information security structure around the site to detect. And prevent comes later, but this is the detecting of it. That's how you find out that you were attacked.
So the passive way is to sit there and wait for a bill to tell you you've been attacked, right?
Correct.
And then the proactive way says you have a process that runs through this and pre-identifies where that risk is. And hopefully that allows you to catch things way before the problem turns into a real big problem.
We spoke about suggestions in terms of what merchants can do to find out if they're, targeted to a CCT attack. But how would you suggest companies prevent this from happening?
Correct. Yeah. So detect, I covered up. The prevent is a big, big topic, right? It could involve many, many scenarios that company has to do. And unfortunately, if you're a small company, you can't afford to build that around it, right? So I can talk later on that to how do you outsource that prevention. But let me talk about what companies can do mid to high size to prevent these fraud, right? So definitely you need to have a proper information security control, basic control. I'm not going to talk about it, but very specific to card tumbling attack. And they need to make sure they add within the code certain checks and balances to make sure it's prevented. Number one is even today, many of the vendors, if I go to the website, they don't ask for CVV, which is really troubling, right? So we definitely have to add the check for CVV. CVV is the card verification value, which is on the back of the card, and that is not saved in any of the database, right? So it even if the hackers takes the credit card, they never have the CVV, right? So that is something you need to verify every time within your code. If someone is entering it, you need to have a proper CVV verification. If not, do not let them go to the next stage, right? The other second would be is what they call a velocity checking, or in other words, I call it rate limiting. So what it means is you need to check and see how many hits you're getting per minute, right, from the same session. Sometimes people do 10, 15, 20, 30. There is no reason for someone to do that many per minute, right? So if you do some kind of velocity checking and rate limiting checking, you can prevent it saying something is wrong and you block that traffic. Right. Another thing is very important is the address verification service. So you sometimes, if you don't check and make sure the card number matches with your address, you can pass through when that is a fraud, right? You don't want to do it. You want to check that and make sure there's service available when you check it and verify that the address matches, including the zip code matches the credit card, right? That is very, very important. So what I talked about was the application from application code perspective. The few other technical control that I have seen implemented is you get a service from IP reputation, right? So what it means is you make sure the traffic is coming from an IP address that is not in a bad IP address list, right? So there is a IP reputation list being published from different vendors. You can buy that service and then you verify from the IP and make sure it's not coming from a IP that's already been blacklisted. Right. That is one check. You have to look at the browser agent, right? So if it's coming from a homegrown browser, you know something is wrong. It should be coming from there, right? Kind of thing. So those kind of stuff, you can check it. I think those are the few controls that I can think. These are very good controls. If you have it, that will at least minimize your risk for an attack.
You do bring up an important point, too, here that should be stated. And that's that there's no single bullet to control fraud. You know, that magic bullet is, yeah, you have a fraud system, but you have to watch for so many different things. You know, you talk about address verification. That's a good example, right? Or getting the CVV modified. Really, you're dealing with, it's like a sand in a desert. You know, it quickly shifts and it goes to the weakest point. And having those layers is really the only way to build in an effective process.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that is correct. I mean, there is no single bullet. And even if you are completely bulletproof, you think you are, you still get attacks, right? Now, you can stop them. You don't let them get passed through, but you will still get attacked, right? No one is attack-proof, right? Because you are on the internet, people will attack you, right? So, but you have to build that scenario and protection around you. So at least you prevent that. One thing I was saying I'm going to talk about is these are the stuff that you can do yourself. But there are companies that cannot do it for whatever reason. Either they don't have enough developers or they are a small company who doesn't have enough money to feed into all this process. There are a lot of third-party vendors that is available where you can outsource the traffic to. Many of the, what they call is the content delivery networks, they have security services where you can route your traffic through them. And they provide that service to look for these kind of frauds. And you can write some custom rules into their solutions where it looks for card, looks for checks, you know, hashes of the credit card. And then if the same credit card coming from the same session, same IP address, those kind of logics, they do and they block it. And then they only send the proper traffic to your website, right? So you can reduce your volume of traffic, right? You don't have to worry about getting the traffic, sanitizing it and making sure. And suddenly you get 1,000 connection a minute and your website cannot handle that, right? So if you give it to a third party to do all that stuff and you get only proper traffic, that relieves you from all that headache that might potentially bring your website down if you get hit too often or too hard. So that is another solution that people can think about.
Makes sense.
You offered a lot of like best practices, you know, in terms of what can be done for prevention, detection, and not to throw even more like use cases for you. But, you know, if you can tell our audience if there are any other, you know, good security best practices to help them prevent tumble attacks from happening.
Yeah. So the underlining process here is you have to make sure you have a good information security management system, right? Within the company, there has to be information security program, right? You should have policy procedures from a data center perspective where you host your application. You have to make sure you follow the PCI guidelines, which is you have intrusion detection prevention service, your firewall protecting your application. You have web servers that has proper protection like antivirus, file integrity monitoring, and all the logs from everything goes to a SIM, which is a security incident management solution, and a SOC, which is 7x24, looking for all the alerts and looking at, is there any activity happening that should be happening properly, right? What I didn't cover was in the database, you have to make sure you're encrypting. If you have to store the credit card, you're encrypting and masking it, whatever is needed, and never get decrypted other than memory, right? Or when you're sending it to a processor or any reason, should not leave any of the plain text credit card in any form, whether it's a database or a flat file, right? Many people do manual processing at the end of the day. They extract it into a file and then they leave the file there with the plain text card. Those kind of common sense or a secure basic security practice everyone has to follow, right? Has to be very, very trained to follow that if you have PII data or a credit card data, you have to be very, very careful that nowhere it should be unencrypted or stayed or remained in a clear text, right? So those are the common practice I think everyone has to follow. Everyone has to be trained very clearly. So training is very, very important, but people miss that. They don't think that they extracted something in a file and left the file there, or they deleted a file and went to a trash and then never deleted from the trash. When a malware gets in, it looks for the trash first, right? And see what is in the trash, right? So there are basic things that the people have to be trained who handles credit card on a day-to-day basis, right? So those are the few tips I think I can add, which will add value for people.
You know, the common sense things and the training are really important here. You know, if you think about credit cards years ago, decades ago, when they were on paper slips going through those sliding machines, right?
Yep.
And you put out receipts with everybody's full account number on it, right? And then the industry moved into truncating numbers. Is that a lot of that electronified? So you just end up putting up the last four digits. And that's a big improvement because, you know, for decades, you were putting out account numbers that all somebody had to do is go to a trash can and have a valid number. So it, what you say, though, is a very good example of just a lot of practical common sense approaches, and the training is important. And as a merchant, sometimes you have to figure out, do you want to be selling goods or do you want to be managing your security? And if it's to focus on trading goods, that's where you really need to bring in an expert.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as I said before, you have to make that business decision as to how do you want to protect it. Do you want to do it yourself? Do you want to outsource it to a third party to sanitize the traffic before you get it to your data center, right? I mean, there are values in both, right? So we have to add all those thought processes before making a business decision. Because fraud, I mean, I didn't cover it initially. I mean, last year, I think there was almost, I think 300 million card got affected last year in the, if you look at the FTC website. And then I think it was $5.8 billion loss in fraud of credit card last year, which is a huge number. So card brands has to do something to push the merchants or the e-commerce site to make sure they are securing, because at the end of the day, the card brands gets, you know, the bulk of the losses, right? They have to deal with it. So a lot of things are happening. I think everything, industry is going in the right direction. But as long as we have card not present option, which is always going to be, we have to innovate because we have to stay a step ahead of the hackers, right? But unfortunately, in security world, hackers are one step ahead of the security people. So they are more innovative than us, unfortunately. But yes, we have to step our game and make sure that, you know, more and more we have to protect the credit card, you know, the credit card frauds.
Abok and Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your insights and perspective, as well as some great best practices. We hope to have you back on soon.